Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. We are so excited to have you here today. And I have a very, very special treat. Dan will not be on this episode, but instead, I have brought someone who is going to, let's say, woo your world. And her name is Alan Reed. And Alan, actually, fun fact, I didn't know this, she was the first Filipina to summit Mount Kilimanjaro in 2010. And she is also the founder at Secret Knot Conference. It is a Forbes must-attend event for entrepreneurs. More fascinating, and one of the big reasons why I actually wanted to bring Alan on, is the fact that she is so passionate, not just about books and beauty, but her insights and curiosity about the origin of ideas, motivations for people, and really understanding the sensibilities of culture. So this is going to be quite a fun episode. And Alan, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Sophie. Thank you.
Awesome. So let me just give those of you listening a little bit of an idea about how I actually found Alan, or how we kind of just found each other. So it's a little interesting. We are both attending an event here in San Diego, and it was so funny. When you walked in the room, it was just like, oh, I need to talk to that part. I was just like, there is something about her. And the speakers went up and they were presenting. And then when we got the opportunity to break out, I was like, okay, where is she? And the minute I found you, I was like, okay, I want to, like, there's something about this person that is so magnetically attractive. And there's something inside of her that, like, is pulling me to you. And of course, we sat down and we started having a conversation. And I was like, my heart and my soul are just like singing. So that was kind of really the intro into it. And we started off with a very interesting conversation, which I guess we can use that to kind of segue in for those of you that have been listening. We've been talking a lot about vibrational frequencies, about emotions, about how you can really change who it is you believe you are and tapping into your infinite potential. And if you have not heard those, please go back, because those will be a great pre-study for this episode. But in that conversation, we started to talk a lot about this idea that we either wear these masks or that we believe we're this one person, and how we really have the ability to put on a lot of different personas, right? The ability to step into a lot of different ways to show up in the world, and how that really is of benefit.
Amen. Well, I'm so glad to hear it was the heart space that felt need to congregate together at that event. I thought it would be like, I'm smelly or something. Like, oh, okay, that's good.
It was a little bit of that too. You had, I think it was the boots that first, I was like, oh, those are adorable.
Pink boots get them every time. It's how I win new besties.
I love it.
I love what you're bringing up here, because I think we are at a place where there's so much information, especially about the brain and mindset and in the heart. But there's not a lot of information when it comes to what I call our woo power, which is really the source of it is us as a soul. Mm. And as a soul, we are infinite beings. And this is why we have the capacity to wear so many masks. Mm. And for some reason, we just sort of get stuck from this functioning of only in the brain or only in the heart space, mm-hmm. that we like leave one mask on for years and years and years. And so I would say to people who are really, especially since you guys are a mindset podcast, you know, the one thing I've learned being a neuroscience closet geek is that the brain and even the heart, like, think of it as a dashboard, like the pilot's cockpit in an airplane. Mm-hmm. They're one of the gauges, right? So if you get in the cockpit in, you know, American Airlines, there's one for the temperature, there's one for the direction, you know, the height we're on. Right. And there's needles. Mm-hmm. Right. So one of those is the brain gauge and one is the heart gauge. One is your stomach gauge. One is your body. One's your skin. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. You know, one is your fear gauge. Right. And most of us really just spend our lives using one gauge. Mm. And most of us, I'd say the brain. I certainly did for most of my life. And actually shunned the heart gauge. I was like, you don't feel. You don't need all that mess.
Emotions are wrong.
Yeah, no, what is that? That's not real. But yet, once I really dove into the brain actually, if you look at birth and like conception, the brain cells came from the gut cells and the heart cells. You hear the heartbeat first, you hear a brain cell. Mm. And so it really gave me a clue as to how inclusive we need to think of our lives, especially when it comes to mindset, because it's actually the whole set.
Awesome. So I love that you're bringing this up, because this is, it's definitely a big thing, and especially in the personal development world, which I have a theory that a lot of those listening have probably spent a lot of time in that world, and really understanding in your concept of woo, right? It's really about embodying the whole person, as I would say, not just this part or that part, or this is the good and this is the bad, but it's all of it, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly. And I think that from at least my understanding so far, really what you encompass and being open to the possibility that there's so much more than just what meets the eye.
Amen to that. And, you know, let's take it a little bit further, this visual of being in a pilot's cockpit, right? And just using that gauge instead of realizing and looking up, there's all these gauges, not just a brain gauge and a heart gauge and a stomach gauge, which are our most prominent gauges as human beings. And when we pull back and we're like, oh, there's all these gauges and there's a windshield out there. And hey, there's a chair for me to sit in as a soul. And it's like, who's sitting in there? Most people are not sitting in the soul chair of the airplane. They're flying, right? And there's the thing, and I wanted also to touch on to you said about people who are in personal development. There's a tendency to get into these cycles. And one of the main cycles is the positivity-negativity cycle.
Yes. Let's go there.
Yeah, high vibration, low vibration cycle. Like you're constantly chasing yourself. Am I high vibing today? Am I low vibing today? Oh my God, is this a positive thought? Is this a negative thought? And you spend your whole day just transmuting from negative to positive, you know, from low to high. And for me, that's just the bare minimum. It's only being in survivor mode. Like we got to be beyond surviving to thriving. The world needs for us to thrive right now and not just be in survivor mode. And that's the thing about really sitting in that soul chair and being the real pilot, not letting your brain be the pilot, not letting your heart be the pilot, not letting them fight over each other, because it's really not one over the other. You use them together and getting to the place of looking at the root cause of everything, which is us as the soul, the woo.
So I'm so curious, and I'm sure those listening are as well, around how did you find yourself really discovering? When did you start to really trickle into what you embody today?
The life experiences that took that away from me. I think for most kids, all of us humans, we all function from a soul space until we didn't, because it wasn't nurtured. There is no how to be human 101 in elementary school. There, Earth is a soul school, but never really had a human 101 class for souls. And so as you go through life and we don't have these classes about how to use your brain as a computer and use your heart as a processor and your extra abilities, like your clear abilities, your empathic abilities, your intuitive abilities start getting numbed down or muted because of information and authority. And a combination of authority of information.
Love it.
That slowly gets taken away. But I had such a strong remembrance of being in a state of infiniteness as a soul that I really fought for having some of this back. Not that I have it all back. Like I'm not clairvoyant. I'm more like a cognizant person, empath in a way that doesn't, like, I don't feel it to the bones like certain empaths do. And my intuition's like insane. But I don't see the future. And by the way, FYI, if you go to a psychic who like sees the future, don't give him your money. The future is based on every decision you make today, right now. And the future changes in the next 5 minutes or the next minute should you change your mind. It looks different. So
absolutely.
So that's how really I got started on the path. And it got amplified when I had a son who was 5 and I noticed how advanced he was as a baby. And I was like, oh gosh, mommy cannot take her whole life to figure this out. I got to do this now.
I love it.
Now, there you go.
It's interesting too, because I follow you on Facebook and on some other social platforms, and I've seen some of your posts talking about, again, how advanced he is, but also sharing a little bit of some intimacy there and how he almost has a really deep connection with a lot of what you've already tapped into.
Yes. And sometimes it really takes me for left field. As many parents know, your kids will take you by surprise. Mm. And I've really learned to just receive and fly by the seat of my pants, because there is no how to parent a woo-woo child.
Not yet.
There isn't. I mean, I remember looking up, somebody said, I think your child might be a medium. And I was like, oh, crap. What do you mean? What's a medium? What is that? And then I had to go learn what differences were, a channeler, a medium, a psychic, all that kind of stuff. And then I was like, how to parent a medium? I was like, I remember typing that into Google and going, what am I doing? But
in there somewhere.
Of course there isn't one, right? And just like there is no how to be a human that you'll find on Google. Maybe there will be for the robots. I don't know.
There's a manual for it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, he is very much tapped in, and I hope he continues to be. I think there's been certain life events that have occurred in my life, like a divorce, that for a while really activated his survival mechanism. The brain was very strong, and it was about being tidy and precise. And I was like, whoa, this is overinflated. You never really cared before. But now as he's adjusting, these things are coming back again, which is such a relief, such a relief. So the empathic abilities are coming back in. He has the BS meter of this kid at 5 years old. He's so on point. All I have to do is have him next to me in a room full of people, and I know who will be the ones who will be a real true friend. He has picked out everybody in my life and sifted out. And well, as a baby, he would just cry. I used to have meetings and get-togethers, and he would literally just scream at the top of his lungs. And I noticed one day, I was like, oh, it's all people that I don't know about them. Mm. Or as time passed, they kind of screwed me over or whatever. He just picked it out. And it really caught my attention.
Yeah, I would think. I love it.
Wow, this is precise. He doesn't know these people, quote unquote. He just senses them. And we all have this capacity as humans. But we're relearning it through, you know, mind mastery, mindset work, and neuroscience, heart math, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And so let's take this about 10 notches up and just have some fun here. I would love, just starting to explore, because there's so much in all of this, and I think for a lot of people that their neuroscience tends to be like the gateway drug, right, to the world of woo.
So true!
Right.
It was mine, yeah.
And I know for me as well, it was like, there's all these sensations happening, and it was this innate need to understand what the f- is happening here. And so, of course, science! Right? Something that can explain it. And it was so interesting because I know for me, when I started understanding the neuropsychology of life, right, of how we actually work, and then I started to get into the physics of it, and then I took this giant leap into the world of quantum, and everything just kind of like, done. I was like, okay, I don't know anything. Wow. And that's where, for me, everything started to change and transform. And I was like, holy crap, there's all of these different types of possibilities and other realities. And everything is just a potential. And what am I tapping into? And what am I currently stepping into? And it's just like, oh, everything I thought I knew was just such a limited version because of how I was limiting myself based on the capacities that I was putting upon myself, obviously based on social conditioning and standards. So what's so fascinating and what I love about your work specifically is how easy it is to kind of just take off that glass and start to look at things from this perspective of, okay, what else is possible? What else could this mean? Like, what are some other potentials that we're not yet seeing or experiencing for whatever the reason may be?
Oh my gosh, there's so many, right? And I love how you describe your, as I call it, the Alice in Wonderland rabbit hole into quantum or into the woo. That's my acronym for quantum work. Because quantum work gives words and mechanics to imagination and intuition. Mm-hmm. All those things that were sort of voodoo or taboo to refer to and even rely on. And so what's possible? My God, all the things that were just sort of novelty skills, like being able to move stuff in your eyes, like that's absolutely possible. Mm-hmm. To be able to tap into the very, very finest particles of creation, for example, which I call prima materia, like first material, and to gather it up. This is where I think where law of manifestation or attraction is a little bit off, because they don't actually instruct in a quantum level, which I think a lot of people need, because our brains need it. Our brains needs to have this quantifiable, evidence-based gateway that we have to get past. Like, you can't ignore it. We have to work with it. And so, yeah, we can take something called prima materia, our raw material of creation, gather it up, gather all that quantum light and sound and frequency, and then imbue it with instruction for what you want, right? And then to have it then just come into your life. Essentially, that is what law of attraction is, right? But right now, we're using words, we're mantraing our way through it. We are feeling our way through it. And it's possible to just simply think it and be it and have it. I mean, that's really instantaneous once we are able to even collapse time. And I've had this a lot where I'll think of something or I'll instruct myself to sleep, which I think you guys will learn with some of the other mindset authors you follow. Give yourself instructions before you go to sleep of what it is you're creating. And you wake up and the phone call, first phone call for the day is the thing that you were working on, right?
Yep.
So what's possible? Anything's possible. Anything. By location, being in two places at one time, to be able to be in 100 places at one time, being able to see what's going on, you know. I think it's always been possible. That's why there are things like the pyramids that we can't explain. There are structures around the world we cannot explain without using aliens. But I firmly believe at one point humans and humanoids were so tapped in that this stuff was possible. The point that we can't explain it. We just happen to be in a point of cutoff right now. Cut off. We're relearning, researching, remembering, re-knowing again. And the possibilities are endless. Absolutely.
I've got goosebumps over here. So this is something that's so interesting, because when we talk about like the law of attraction, right, and a lot of the positive mindset and affirmations, it's so interesting because there's a lot of incoherency that's happening where it's just like, oh, just think about it and it's just going to magically appear. And people are like, well, it's not working. And it's just, I want to address this because this is probably one of the biggest things. You have to create coherency. And I love the analogy that you're using with the cockpit, right? If you're only using one of your gauges, you completely have you're not tapped into the other one. So they're like going in different directions. How are you going to possibly get to your destination, right? And so it's understanding that when we're talking about these concepts, these theories, these ideas, right, there's so much more than just think about it, right? You have to think, you have to feel, and you have to literally embody. And Dan and I have talked about this quite a bit, right? How you literally are changing your neurological, your biological, your chemical makeup when you change your emotional state. And that's how you start to tap into. And when you close your eyes again, your brain does not know the difference between what's real and what you're just imagining. So really just think about that for a second, how powerful your thoughts when tapped into a coherent emotional state, how powerful that can be. And then even more so when you bring in that intentful, meaningful, soulful level of just intuition, that however it is, I think the thing that most people get stuck on is they want to understand the how, but it's not about understanding the how. It's about a knowingness and a trust and letting go of that control so that it can manifest in a way, right? And whatever it's supposed to.
Yes, absolutely on point with that. This trust and control. Just laugh at all that.
I love it.
I have always been a firm skeptic, even though I use it. I am a skeptic of the law of attraction because you know that I summited Kilimanjaro. Did I have an intention to summit Kilimanjaro ever in my whole life? Nope. I didn't even have a bucket list. I literally got up on top of the mountain and was, what am I doing here? How did I get here? because I don't remember manifesting or mantraing my way to, I'm going to summit Kilimanjaro, like nothing. And there's just so many things like that in our lives that have happened that we certainly did not manifest, but they are there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We did not, quote unquote, work on it in this way that this process teaches us to how to work.
Mm-hmm.
But am I that being that is able to just be open for opportunities like that to come around?
Mm.
Yes, that's really the core essence of it, right? When you say you're being, feeling, coherence, I'd like to think of it as actually congruence. And for people who are getting bored with their own goals, because everybody gets bored with their own goals by the time February hits. Let's just face it, it's February. And the thing is, if you could just be congruent to the unknown, the excitingness of the unknown, then you're not so bored. You're not so trapped by what the goal that you don't have yet, waiting for it to happen and toiling your days away for this thing that you're waiting to happen to prove to yourself that you can do it. And your eyes are just always peeled and open for the stuff that you didn't capture in your mantra, in your law of attraction work. Because there's a lot of it that you don't capture. And frankly, that was the magic of letting go of the law of attraction process for me. Because there was so much I was able to experience beyond the three things I was manifesting.
I love it. This is such a powerful topic. So I'm gonna take it even a step further, because I love where you're going with this, and it's so true. And I think this is part of that aspect where we have this limited vision of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the danger when we talk about things like manifestation, like law of attraction, is limiting ourselves to what we're saying needs to happen. Because we're putting in a way a sense of, well, I want to control that this is what my options are. This is what I'm creating. Rather than when you step into that knowingness, that trust, like you mentioned, right? Being able to just be open and congruent with, okay, it's amazing where life takes you.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to tap into and experience things that you would have never thought of. And it's so interesting, because that's really what a lot of it comes down to. And it's so funny, because so many people are like, well, I want to have this, but is that really what it is? Right? Because oftentimes it's so much more.
No, you're absolutely right. It is so much more. When you take it beyond what you see yourself doing versus what impact can I make, get out there, what you needed, it takes it away from the vision of yourself versus the vision what's around you. And you just happen to be the tool of that thing. And that's one key of it. Now, the second thing is, and this is where a lot of law of attraction people, I'm going to be like totally opposite, because they're like, be super specific, right? This is the thing, super specific. I just don't buy into it. Because when you say, what's a common goal? I want to make $1 million a year, right? Everybody says it. Well, what if the thing you want to do actually requires 5, 20 million, and it can happen in 4 months, but you're wanting to take a whole year to do it? Like, how painful is that? The universe to give to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so mine have always been really simple. And that was to, one, travel when I wanted to, not because I had to or not because I couldn't, but just when I wanted to, as much as I wanted to or as little as I wanted to. And two, I wanted to influence influencers.
Mm.
How that showed up, I couldn't tell you. It was because of, you know, now secret knock, I was able to influence influencers, because that's really what caused that community to grow.
Mm.
From a quote unquote influencer standpoint, my numbers are low, but my reach is wide. I have people, you know, dictionaries in how many households in the country, in the world, okay? And this is a person that's in, the inventor of it is in that network. So Ugg boots. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on with you. But I could never have said, oh, I want to make an event, sir, that's going to change lots of people. I didn't even go there. I was just like, I am a mom now, and there's only one mom. There's a lot of people who can help me change the world. And the most efficient way that I could do it right now is if I could influence influencer and not be the influencer that has to go have hundreds and millions of followers.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Okay.
If you guys could see my face right now, it's just glowing. I love this. I love this so much. And wow, yeah, I've got the tingles. It really is about understanding, because right now, what's happening a lot of times with the entrepreneurial world, especially here in the Western world, is it's so much about competition and survival and being the best. And it's so much more focused on the self, on the individual, which is where, again, this is just my belief, but that's where we're limiting ourselves. And what you're talking about, what you're stepping into is when you can step out of yourself, when you can become nobody, no one, no thing, nowhere, no place, and no time, you start to tap into the possibility that you are here for something so much greater than just this moment. And you start to realize that your consciousness, your purpose in this life, what you're really here to do has nothing to do with you. It has so much more to do with the greater whole of living for what is really going to help just raise the entire consciousness of the entire planet and eventually allow you to expand into something so much greater than yourself.
This is, you absolutely capture it. There's only one duty I have to myself, really, to be able to pull the work, the kind of work that's not about me, and that is radical honesty. Mm. That is radical honesty about what I am, what I'm good at, what I suck at, what I don't like doing, and living my life according to those things. And what is it I'm willing to change so that I can fill in the gaps to what's needed to contribute? Mm. But other than that, it's when you talk about competition, to me, people in competition means they're not creative. Mm-hmm. Because if you're in competition, there is no creativity in competition. You're not in a zone of genius. And that to me, if you're in a zone of genius, there is no competition because it's all about raw talent, authenticity, and there is no competition for who's the most real you, except with you, you know. There is no who's the real them. There is no such thing. It can only be expressed through work, whatever that work is, or art, or however your art is. Mm. And so I really have gone to the point where I've simplified even more beyond just science, the language of science, beyond the language of psychology, of feelings, and to reconstruct things a different way, because there's isolation happening with all these disciplines, and that's why they all plateau, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it is, math, nutrition, I don't know, pick something, cosmology, astrology, let's take philosophy. They all get to a point where I don't know. We don't know the answer. Because mm-hmm. there's isolation happening there. The zone of genius is when these things collaborate, which is what's amazing about quantum work. Mm-hmm. Quantum physics and quantum mechanics. It takes resonance and science over here and says, okay, where do they meet?
Yeah.
And that's where there is no competition about that. Mm-hmm. It's simply zone of genius, creativity, expansion.
Mm, I love it. And really, I hope that for those of you listening, you've probably caught on a few times now, especially with what Dan and I have been hardwiring in there for you, is that really it's about collaboration. It's about co-creation. It's about being able to step into a place where you can really give, and not about survival, but about really tapping into a place where you can thrive and you can live from a place of abundance, in the meaning of that you really are infinite. Your potential is infinite. Your possibility is infinite. And it really comes down to what are you allowing yourself to tap into, not what are you limiting yourself to.
Amen. And I'm not saying to not learn this stuff. We should absolutely be all over this stuff. I certainly was. You've described yours, your journey. We have a very similar journey. And there's this thing in art. I'm, you know, a closet artist.
Love it. And
one of the things I've really learned is that you got to know all the rules. You can break them and play with them. Mm-hmm. And make new rules. And so, yes, I got to know science very well. I majored in cognitive psychology and work in college because I needed to know what brain cell is doing what, and the synapses and dendrites and what all those things do, when, why. Mm-hmm. And but then to then walk out of it and be like, how can I break these rules? Where is it in life? How does life say, okay, that's what you learn, but look, where is this happening? It never got explained. Mm-hmm. And how can you hack that? Mm. Right? How can you use it? How can you change the world with it? So,
love it. Love it. Oh, I could go on for hours. I think we both could. But for the sake of our listeners to just digest what we've covered already, what I will ask you is this, is really, what's next for you in the sense of your heart space? Where is your intuition guiding you? And what do you really feel that you want to just leave as a last message for those tuning in?
Okay. So it's all about the soul. And there are ways to invite the soul in, and that is to relax the brain and relax the heart. Because when one or the other is driving, the soul takes a step back and is like, okay, you want to take a visit over here. All right, I'll be over here and when you're ready for me. There's something called the arm length test. It allows you to tap into your subconscious using your body. You can Google it. My friend Dr. Uwe Albrecht shows you how to do it. And I could actually, if you want, you could probably get him on your show. And
it would be amazing.
Talk about this, because in Europe, the arm length test is one of the certified medical devices there.
Mm.
And you can really explore everything that's in your subconscious versus letting it hit you by surprise.
Oh, that thing?
Yeah. Okay. So, and two is your brain has a different voice than your body and a different voice than your soul.
Mm.
And using an arm length test, using muscle testing, yes or no, light or heavy with your body, you will learn which one sounds as which. For example, when you're going, I want chocolate, the dieters, the cravers, your body doesn't crave. Okay. You know who makes that demand? It's the brain.
Mm.
The body's language is, oh, that would be nice. It's very like a whisper, a desire, a longing, but it's never demanding and forceful, like, give me that now. I will die if you don't give me that chocolate, or I will beat you up over it. This is very much the brain needing things. So what do, right? Like, your brain and your body are totally different things. Well, invite the soul in. It's like, okay, you still want your goal? Okay, how about a happy medium somewhere? Create a different solution based on the two options you have.
I love it.
Pick up tools. Arm length test, light and heavy, and yes or no by the body are by Access Consciousness. But there's also a ton of content out there for it. And play with it. It takes 2 minutes of your day in the morning to do it.
I love it. Ugh, I've got homework for myself now for once. I think this is payback for everything we've been giving you guys. Fantastic. Well, thank you so, so much for taking the time out of your day and out of your life to really tune in and just share some of your incredible insight. And just your intuition and your guidance is so valuable and so appreciated. I hope you do know that. And more importantly, for those who want to find out more about you, and maybe they're just curious, or maybe their intuition is guiding them and they're saying, I need to know this person.
All right. Well, I'm on a mission to put woo back into humanity. And I'm over at woomanity.com, woomanity.com. I'm also on Instagram as woomanity, Facebook. I'm easy to find. You can just Google me, Alan Reed, or go on one of those websites.
Love it. Love it. Awesome. Well, we'll go ahead and make sure that that link is posted for you guys as well if you ever want to find her. She said she's easy to find. Just follow the great minds. And again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you all on the next episode. Bye, guys. Thank you.